From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Always Dreaming with a 2.5-length lead at 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway, Classic Empire. They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
And the whip coming out here from Edgar Prado, just a tap there on Miss Temple City. And she comes to the front. And the decorated Grade 1 winner's got the lead from Zepessa. Zepessa stretching her. But Miss Temple City, her class prevails. And she wins the Kentucky Downs Ladies Turf.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Mubtahij is the leader. Win the space, Midnight Storm, Cupid battling home. But Mubtahij is a globalized class act. He wins the awesome again.
Mike Smith getting all from West Coast. As he clings to the lead from Gunavera, Irap is third on the inside. Taprit is fourth. It is West Coast, and he keeps on rolling. And West Coast goes wire to wire in the Travers.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Hello again, everyone. Good morning, and welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Ponta for the Pick Four, Jude Feld. We are with you once again in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios right here in the heart of the Bluegrass, and happy to have you with us over the course of the next 2 hours here on HRRN. 20 days, 6 hours, and 28 minutes away from the start of the 2017 Breeders' Cup World Championships at Del Mar. All of the win-in-your-in slots have been allocated. All those tickets have been punched. The win-in-your-in action coming to an end this past week, but still plenty of great racing action coming up on this Saturday afternoon and on this weekend. And really, Jude, when you think about it, still some opportunities for somebody to prove they belong in the big dance here in 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's not unprecedented to see Philly come out of the Queen Elizabeth II Challenge Cup and go to the Breeders' Cup. So we have that to look forward to today. That's always a great race. This year's edition lives up to the expectations of previous years. It's a very, very tough field.
Yeah, and still some opportunities for somebody to win their way to, say, a race like the Breeders' Cup Turf, for example, with the Pattison Canadian International being contested at Woodbine tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, those races at Woodbine tomorrow are excellent. Some nice international fields. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, you have four graded stakes on the program at Woodbine tomorrow. You have the Grade 2 Nearctic, the Grade 3 Ontario Derby, and a pair of Grade 1s with the E.P. Taylor and the Canadian International. And to talk about those races, we're going to be joined by John Siskos, who is the Director of Communications at Woodbine, right after our first commercial break, right around 8:15 Eastern time. And always fun to catch up with John.
Yeah, John's a great guy, and he's very enthusiastic about racing, which I love. A lot of times you talk to racetrack executives, and they're just business guys. But John's a guy that absolutely loves our sport.
You know, when you think about the Breeders' Cup this year, oftentimes we come into the Breeders' Cup and there are several standouts that we look forward to seeing and several horses that figure to be prohibitive favorites in the races, and names like Beholder and Zenyatta and those types of horses come to mind. Do we have any of those types of horses this year, Jude, or is it, I mean, the way I look at it, it seems like every division is more wide open than what we've seen in recent years. Do you agree?
I think so, yeah. For the most part. I mean, I think Dre Fong is, you know, absolute cinch winner.
Right, okay.
Lady Aurelia's training like a freak. She probably should win the turf sprint, especially at Del Mar. I would think she'd have an edge there. As usual, the distaff is tough. The classic, lots of question marks in there. The Philly and Mare turf's going to be an awesome race from my perspective. And then, of course, the baby races are always puzzles, you know.
Yeah.
So, but I think you might be right. I mean, there's always horses that are heavily favored in the Breeders' Cup to get beat, and there's always horses that pop up from nowhere that pay huge prices, and that's what makes the Breeders' Cup such a great day for horse players and very interesting as far as the sport's concerned.
Yeah, and the Classic is so interesting. When you have an East versus West showdown, it always makes it a little more interesting, I think, anyway. And you have Gunrunner, who was so dominant over the summertime in Saratoga. Then you have Arrowgate, who was so dominant last year, and, of course, the defending champion. And, he's just kind of been off form a little bit in his last couple of starts. So does Arrowgate get back to the Arrowgate we were accustomed to seeing, or does Gunrunner maybe take over and take that mantle, or is it somebody else who jumps up and says, hey, wait a minute, I might be the best in the country?
Well, I might be the pontiff of the pick four, but I'm not God. I don't know. I don't know what Arrogate's going to do. I mean, I have absolutely no clue. I have an idea that he is innately the best horse in the race, but I am a Gunrunner fan to a certain degree, but I don't think he can tie Arrogate's shoelaces if Arrogate runs his race.
Really? Okay.
But there's other horses. I mean, Collected, I think, is a fine horse. Baffert's got quite the lineup. He's got Arrogate, he's got Collected. He's got West Coast, who I'm not as keen on. He's a 3-year-old. I know he's been running good. And Mubtahish, who broke through the other day, ran the best race of his life, arguably.
Yeah.
He's got four horses that have a chance. I think the best you could say was Baffert has the best chance of winning the Classic.
Right.
But, you know, I'm sure Steve Asmussen would argue with me on that. So, it's going to be a great race. And, if Arrogate won, I don't think anybody would drop dead, you know.
Yeah.
And if he didn't win, I don't think anybody would drop dead. So, it's big question mark.
Yeah. What do you think happened with Arrowgate those last couple of starts? Why do you think
we've seen
him be a little off form?
He lacks racing. I've said this before, and I've written about it, talked about it. He's racing green. I think when horses don't race, they lose a little bit of focus. And this business of, you know, 3-4 months between starts, I don't get it. I mean, I just don't understand it from a trainer's perspective. I don't see it. Now, I'm not training the horse, and Bob Baffert is as good as it gets.
Yep.
So I don't want to second guess Bob Baffert, but to me, I would have run that horse at least two more times this year. You know, I wouldn't have given him all this time. I don't know why horses need all this time to recover.
Well, look at how many of the Breeders' Cup horses are doing that.
I know. I think it's ridiculous.
I mean, Gunrunner, for example, right. He hasn't raced since winning at Saratoga, right? So he's coming in off of that long layoff, if you want to look at it like that, a couple of months. But all right, I'll flip it this way to you then. So horses that we saw in action this past weekend in the challenge races and over the course of the past, I don't know, week or two, do they have an advantage then because they have that recency edge over horses who are coming in off of longer layoffs?
I think they do. I think recent performance is important. I think a good race in the last 30 days. I mean, when I was a kid back in the dark ages, if you didn't have a good race in the last 14 days, most people would throw you out. Nowadays, that's unheard of. Everybody, oh, he's running back quick. You know? Oh, quick. You know, and I always harken back to my kid's mom who used to run 7 miles every day on the streets, you know, of Arcadia and Sierra Madre, every day on the pavement. She did it for, 30 years. And, you know, she didn't need like 5-6 months between starts. She went out every day. I don't get these horses are bred to race. They want to race. Anybody that's trained horses knows that horses get to the point where they just want to run. I mean, you can only train so long. And I think training hurts horses more than racing them. I think if you race your horses regularly, you can be very light in their training. They get a lot less miles. You get a lot more longevity out of them, you know. And that's my opinion. Does not reflect the views of this station. And, you know, nowadays trainers have a tendency to give horses big gaps between their starts. Some people say it has to do with medication. Some people say it has to do with the sheets. Some people say it has to do with trainers
win percentage
stats.
Yeah,
you know, but for me, I like to see the horses racing regularly.
Well, the answer to that question and many more will be answered in just 20 days at Del Mar in Southern California. We'll be there as your exclusive radio home here on HRN. The only place you will hear the Breeders' Cup on radio is with us. You can head over to our website, horseracingradio.net, see a complete Breeders' Cup week schedule as we begin our coverage on Monday morning preceding the Breeders' Cup. That will be your Breakfast at Breeders' Cup show, which is going to be streamed live on BreedersCup.com and other outlets around the country. And we'll bring you those shows Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday morning until we get ready for all the action on Friday and Saturday afternoon and all that race coverage presented by VisitBarbados.org. And all of our coverage throughout the week in the mornings is presented by your Lexington area Jimmy John's. All right, so here's what's coming up over the course of the next couple of hours. We're going to be joined by John Siskos from Woodbine after this first commercial break. Michael Hernan from Gainesway is going to stop by in studio and tell us about their outstanding stallion roster and one horse in particular by the name of Empire Maker, who you'll want to take a look at out at Gainesway. Then a couple of trainers kicking things off in hour number two. Rusty Arnold, who has been red hot at Keeneland. He's won two races this meet, both of those stakes, including yesterday's Franklin County Stakes with Morticia. He also won with Romantic Vision, who took the Spinster last weekend and punched her ticket to the Breeders' Cup Distaff. Ramo Quet will join us. He's the trainer of Whitmore, who won the Phoenix Stakes on opening day at Keeneland. And then Jim Goodman going to be with us, too, from Keeneland. He'll tell us all about their big contest that's taking place today, and he'll look at the QE2, which is the feature race on this Saturday afternoon. Our coverage this afternoon begins 5 o'clock Eastern. You'll hear the QE2 live with us, streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. And then tonight, 10 o'clock Eastern time, make sure you join us for the West Virginia Breeders' Classic. So you got 5 o'clock, 10 o'clock, all that coverage later tonight, presented by all of our good friends who support us here on the network. And can't thank them enough. You can tune in, horseracingradio.net. All right, we're going to get to our first break. We'll come back, talk some Woodbine with John Siskos. That's next on the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on HRN.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-544.
Join us for Jim McKay Maryland Million Day, Saturday, October 21st at Laurel Park. Come with friends and family to Maryland's Day at the Races. It's a celebration of Maryland's horses and lots of fun for all ages. First post is 12:15 with 11 exciting races. And don't miss the first annual hat contest with three categories and wonderful prizes. Join in the fun today at Laurel Park. For more information, visit MarylandMillion.com or MarylandRacing.com.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind, absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Into Mischief is North America's emerging top sire. the world's leading two-year-old sire in 2016 and America's leading three-year-old sire in 2017, with his biggest and best crop still to come.
Golden Sun just keeps on going. Golden Sun will do it again in the dirt mile. Practical jumps under the way of the champagne. Vickers in trouble.
By Jack in the ascendancy light.
Into Mischief, standing at Spendthrift Farm.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
As they come down the stretch, here goes Dartmouth to join World Approval. And on the outside, Erupt, making a line of four as Wake Forest. Erupt has done just that. And it is Erupt coming away. Erupt in front and is drawing off. Dartmouth in second, and they're not catching Erupt. Erupt has been tremendous to win by a length. Dartmouth second, Wake Forest third. Then the Pizza Man, Idaho, Danish Dynaformer, to Glebe, World Approval and Protectionist.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pennett, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff, in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios, and happy to have you back with us. That was Robert Geller with the call of last year's Canadian International. It went to Erupt. He is back to defend his title tomorrow, north of the border at Woodbine. Going to be an amazing afternoon of thoroughbred racing. We told you those four graded stakes races coming up tomorrow afternoon. Including the Nearctic, the Ontario Derby, the E.P. Taylor, and the Pattison Canadian International. And to help us figure it all out now is our good friend John Siskos, who is the Director of Communications at Woodbine. John, welcome, my friend. Good morning.
Welcome, gentlemen. We're in good form up in Toronto. Weather's nice and comfortable. It's raining a little bit, but we're very, very excited. We've had a nice week, preparations for our big day, and we're all set for tomorrow.
All right. How about the weather for tomorrow? Everything looking good?
I think, I don't know. It's looking much better for tomorrow than it is today. Hopefully it ends up being nice. We're looking at, let me do the math in my head, 20s. We're looking at high 60s, low 70s for the day tomorrow. So looks nice.
Yeah, it should be a tremendous day. And when you get the defending champ back in the Canadian International, John, that always adds a little bit of intrigue, doesn't it?
Yeah, he, you know, if you remember last year, gentlemen, he was 12-1, you know, a likable horse. I think I might have given out the horse. He's only 7-2 here. A few circumstances have changed. Grand Motion now trains him, trains in Maryland. But he's live, you know, he's at least he's close to the favorite when it comes to class. But I'm looking elsewhere as we dive into the race a little bit. He just seems like the kind of horse that nobody saw him last year coming. He was 12-1. Everybody sees him coming. He'll be 3-1. Everybody sees him coming, and you could see him finishing fifth.
Yeah, what's that saying in racing? If you didn't go to the wedding,
yep,
don't go to the funeral.
Exactly.
And right.
That's
well,
exactly the thought I had there, and I feel that way a little bit about him. Good horse, no question about it. But I'm looking elsewhere.
Who else might we keep an eye on in the Canadian International then?
Well, let's go to let's talk about the favorite a little bit. You know, Idaho has a major edge on class. All right, source ran in the arc, okay, and he finished eighth in it against the most in-form horses on the planet, and he finished eighth. And I think that's a pretty good frame of reference. And so he'll be the favorite, legitimate favorite. He's got Aidan O'Brien. You might have seen some of the information out there that he is going for a record, an interesting record, of number of group wins, group one wins in a calendar year that Bobby Frankel held a few years back. And the Canadian International could very well be that record win. So, you know, here's Aidan O'Brien, a very famous name across the industry, of course, Ryan Moore, Cool Moore. He stacks up way ahead of all these horses on class. So that said, he ran at Ascot, and then a month later ran at Saratoga. Then a month later he ran at the Ark. at Shawnee, and now he's here. You know, that's four races and it packed in a short period of time. I'm going to look elsewhere on that one, too.
Yeah, he's totally out of form, I think. His race at Saratoga was hideous.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just so disappointing. I mean, he was running against a field that he should have beaten like a drum.
Yeah.
And he washed out that day, and I was shocked.
Yeah, both of his starts in North America. Last year's Canadian International, where he was fifth behind Erupt, and then that sixth-place finish you just mentioned in the Sword Dancer at Saratoga. He just has been lackluster when he's come to North America. And at 5-2, John, like you say, probably good to look elsewhere. Who else should we look at?
Okay, so, I think we're going to dismiss the only local horse in the race as well. Johnny Bear is one at Northern Dancer last time out. He's going to be a good price, and he'll be, he's likable at a price, but he's just not this caliber. So we'll toss him a little bit. Now I know who you guys are going to, I know who Jude likes for sure. but I think I'm going to go with Oscar nominated. I think, Mike Maker's had success up here. He's got a little bit of Group One form. He, won the Group Three last time. He can make the leap forward, and Julian Leperu has won races here, of course. But I think Messi will be popular. I think I'm going to play against him. I'm going to toss the Northern Dancer completely, and see if I can't shorten the field a little bit, which has me landing on Oscar nominated.
What do you think, JT? Oscar nominated?
Well,
or are you going to go a different direction?
I think Oscar nominated has a chance. Why?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to be Graham Motion. Now, that's not just for the Canadian races, but that's all the time.
it's good to be Graham Motion.
Yeah, it really is. And I think both of his horses. I like Erupt a little bit. I see that 1-12-1 workout. And one thing I know about Graham Motion, he doesn't work his horses very fast. But the ones that win always have like a longer work that's pretty glib. I would say 1-12-1 at Fairhill qualifies for that. He's also getting Lasix today. Tomorrow. I don't think that's going to hurt him. And then Messi should have won the Northern Dancer last time. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a horrible trip he had. So, I mean, I think those two horses are both very live. But it's a really interesting race. I mean, I spent a lot of time handicapping it and partially because I knew Idaho was going to get over bet. I just don't have any confidence in him.
John Sisco's from Woodbine with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, the Equine Forum, all presented by Woodbine Entertainment. John, how about the race prior to the Canadian International, that Grade 1 E.P. Taylor? 9 horses were entered. The favorites role going to Nezwa for Roger Varian, who ran in the race a year ago, finished 7th, but only beaten 2 lengths.
A very, very interesting race. There are several horses, though. It is now raining in Toronto, guys, so... let's see. Let's start looking for soft turf form, and we've got horses in here that are really soft turf form type horses. Including, I'm going to go. Let's look at Rain Goddess a little bit. You see, she ran, and that's another Aiden O'Brien horse, by the way, with Ryan Moore up. Who the horse will absolutely suck action. She won the Group 3 last time out. And then ran 3rd in the Group 2 last time out. And looks like has some soft turf, elite soft turf form. So she's going to be popular. But the horse I really, really like in here is Blonde Me. That's an Andrew Balding horse. He's won several races at Woodbine. She ran 2nd in the Group 1 in August at Goodwood. 16-1 long shot. But then they wheel her right back on Arc Day. In the Vermai. And she finished 11th, beating 79 lengths. Now, I don't know if the listeners have seen that race, and I encourage everybody to do so, to confirm her form. But she was behind horses that got jostled. And there's bumped all kinds of bumping. In fact, the winner is the one that caused the bumping in there, a horse called Batil. So she was behind all that, seemingly making a move, but quite clearly got cut off, and the jock took up and just let her finish the race. So I'm putting a line through that race. People are going to see this 11th beaten 79. What the heck happened here? And if they haven't looked and haven't watched the video of that race, they might dismiss the horse. Give me her, maybe a $15 mutual there.
Yeah, and beaten 29, right, John?
No, that's 79.
Is that a 7?
Yeah.
All right, the past performances I was looking at had 29, so I wanted to make sure I was I didn't know she was quite that bad that
okay.
day.
Okay, so let's look at it from this. Maybe it is 29, but the PPs I've got in front of me are 79. Mike,
she faded.
But that said,
29 or 79, what's the difference?
She still got thumped.
Touche. That said, I mean, like it's a dismiss race. You'll see that she's right there. The horse comes over, and the jock takes up,
yep,
and just lets her finish the race. It could be 179. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, well said. Blind right? Me 6-1 on the morning line in that EP Taylor. And again, that's the race preceding the Patterson Canadian International.
79. Interesting. We better get to the bottom of that. All right.
I think that is the bottom of that.
Yeah. I don't think there's any lower than that, John, when you get to get beat that much. But, yeah, we'll see if she can rebound coming up tomorrow afternoon in that EP Taylor. A couple of other great stakes on the docket, too. What can folks expect when they start looking at that program tomorrow? Are there special wagers associated with some of these great stakes? How's it all going to work?
Yeah, we've got the guaranteed pools. $150,000 for our early pick four, $250,000 on the late pick four, $50,000 on the early pick five, and $100,000 on the late pick five. And as you know, guys, as we've talked on your show before, the 20-cent bet minimums. And we, you know, players love spreading those horses around. They're going to use horses that got beaten 29 lengths or 79 lengths. Right, no matter what, it's a cheap bet overall to see if they can't get a piece of their action. So that's the key for the players. We're very proud of the card. It's, you know, big field size, big average field size with a 10 average of 10 horses per race. So this is one of our elite races, or one of our elite days, and we're going to show it off tomorrow.
He's John Siskos with Woodbine. John, appreciate the time, my friend. Enjoy the big day tomorrow. Enjoy this afternoon's racing as well. We'll be watching here in the States, and like all of our guests who appear on the program, you'll receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. And, of course, you can wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Enjoy it, John.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Chat soon.
All right, John Siskos. Hey, by the way, Jude, our Queen's Plate winner, Holy Helena, is back in action tomorrow at Woodbine as well, taking on the boys in the Ontario Derby.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun to watch her run again on a track we know she likes. And she's something else. She can really run. Her last start was not indicative of her ability, I don't think.
All right, coming up next, we're going to visit with Michael Hernan from Gainesway. He will talk about that outstanding stallion roster they've once again put together for this upcoming breeding season. Absolutely spectacular, including a little horse by the name of Empire Maker, who you want to make sure you stop out and see. Right now, though, it's time for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty here in Lexington, Kentucky. When we come back, again, Michael Hernan.
The adage that all good things are worth waiting for was never better illustrated than when Alfred G. Vanderbilt's mare Geisha dropped her one-month overdue foal on March 27, 1950. The newly arrived gray colt was by 1945 Preakness winner Polynesian and most fittingly was bemonikered Native Dancer. In an absolutely brilliant career, he won 20 of 22 races. He was endeared by the American public and affectionately referred to him as the Dancer or the Gray Ghost. Huge crowds surrounding the paddock when he raced, transfixed by the combination of a majestic bearing, icy calmness that he displayed before his races, and they rushed down to the rail to catch a glimpse of Native Dancer charging down the stretch to victory from way behind, eating up huge chunks of ground with his 29-foot stride. Native Dancer's reputation preceded him in his very first outing in April of his 2-year-old season, He was then posted a 7-5 favorite and sprinted off to a 4.5 length win, breaking his maiden. A bear 4 days later, he came back to roar to victory in the youthful stakes at odds of 4-5. Never in all the rest of his days on the racetrack did he ever go up at odds any higher. He suffered a shin injury in the youthful, but he returned to the races in superb form 4 months later at Saratoga in August. He found himself in the winner's circle in the next 7 races in a row, the highlight of that streak being equaling of the world record for 6.5 furlongs in the running of the Belmont Futurity. Ankle problems delayed his first start in his sophomore season until April at Aqueduct in the Gotham Stakes 2 weeks before the Derby. He won the Gotham by 2 and romped home in the Wood Memorial by 4.5 to thereby establish himself as the overwhelming favorite in the run for the Roses. But that early May day in 1953 was not to be his day, and the chart of that Derby tells the story. Chart caller's comment read like this: Native Dancer, roughed at the first turn by Money Broker, was eased back to secure racing room, raced wide in the run to the upper turn, saved ground entering the stretch and finished strongly, but could not overtake the winner, although probably the best. Unquote. Rider Eric Guerin blamed the roughing at the clubhouse turn for the loss. Others pointed to the suspiciously large ankles of Native Dancer. At any rate, all observers agreed that in one more stride, Dark Star's victory by a head would have been instead another victory for the Dancer. After 3 hard races in 3 weeks, conditioner Bill Winfrey may well have expected to give his spectacular gray charger respite from the racing wars, but the Dancer was shipped to New York, where he won the Withers, and on the very next weekend he was on hand in Baltimore to nail down the Preakness. That was 5 wins in 5 consecutive weekends. Well, he finally got a break before galloping off to score in the Belmont Stakes and followed that with 4 more consecutive wins. Soreness in his left forefoot prevented him from meeting the 4-year-old sensation Tom Fool in the prestigious fall handicaps, and as a result, Tom Fool was named Horse of the Year. Native Dancer continued having physical problems as a 4-year-old, going postward only 3 times, but he did win all 3. He scored in the Metropolitan and Oneonta handicaps, packing 137 pounds in the latter. They were so impressive, he was finally accorded unanimous Horse of the Year honors in 1954. Through his bloodline, Native Dancer was responsible for a raft of outstanding thoroughbreds: Kauai King, Majestic Prince, Raisin Native, Coastal, Affirmed, Exclusive Native, Genuine Risk, Ruffian, and one of the world's all-time influential sires, Northern Dancer. That, my friends, is the story of the Grey Ghost, truly a legend in thoroughbred racing.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Earn 25% more for every win when you send your horse to Virginia by taking advantage of the new Virginia Certified Program. Simply send your horse to reside in Virginia for 6 months prior to December 31st of their 2-year-old year and be eligible for a 25% owner's bonus for wins in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, and West Virginia, regardless of state bred status. There's value in Virginia with the new Virginia Certified Program. Visit VABred.org for details.
What is it about Tony's Steaks and Seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington, on Main Street right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
Power.
And Bodie Meister is turning the Arkansas Derby into an absolute romp.
Passion.
Pioneer of the Nile, full stretch, but keeping Chocolate Candy at bay. And Pioneer of the Nile and Garrett Gomez have won the Santa Anita Derby.
Performance.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again. Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Gainsway Stallion Empire Maker, a champion and sire of 11 Grade 1 winners, including three-time Eclipse Award champion Royal Delta and Classic Place Bodie Meister, sire of 2017 Kentucky Derby winner Always Dreaming, and Pioneer of the Nile, sire of Triple Crown winner American Pharaoh. Empire Maker's first U.S. crop are now weanlings. Look for them at Keeneland in November. Empire Maker, standing at Gainsway.
Power. Passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Okay, this is Carl Nasker, and I listen to HRRN.
And Bodie Meister is turning the Arkansas Derby into an absolute romp. What a star in the making as Bodie Meister crushes. He wins by 9.
Amaliant to the lead. Amaliant from the back of the pack. She was away slowly. Final furlong of the Judmont Spinster. Slow start. No problem. She wins it. Amaliant for Mike Smith with a huge run in this Grade 1.
Royal Delta's getting involved late as well. Crumb pretty along the inside. It's tricky racing between them and Royal Delta. It's a thriller. Royal Delta's going to score. Royal Delta strikes the front. And Royal Delta, perfectly handled, has taken the ladies' classic.
Can Royal Delta hold on? My Miss Aurelia's trying to get her late. Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again! Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic!
And welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, and our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios. And that's just a brief look at some of the Grade 1 winners produced by Empire Maker, who stands at Gainsway. He is the sire of 11 Grade 1 winners. And wow, what a trip down memory lane. And we have the privilege now of being joined in studio by Michael Herndon from Gainsway. Michael, when you think about the success that this horse has had and you hear some of those race clips that we just played, it's pretty remarkable, isn't it?
Well, it's my pleasure to be here and thanks for the opportunity. Yeah, it's terrific, you know, to be able to walk out the back door and walk down there and see Empire Maker. He's just all class, beautiful horse, great champion racehorse, and now has emerged as a really dominant sire of sires. He's special in every way. He's got excellent fertility, excellent temperament. He's producing the goods. We limit his book to the 125 mares. And, you know, he's on his way. Pioneer of the Nile is a really good stallion in his own right. His son, as is Bodie Meister, who sired this year's Kentucky Derby winner, Always Dreaming. And then, of course, the grandson came along in the form of American Pharaoh, you know, brilliant racehorse, Triple Crown winner. And the next direct descendant from Empire Maker is now Airdrie's Cairo Prince. Beautiful looking horse, strongly resembles Empire Maker, in my opinion, and he's the leading freshman sire. So breeders who got in there, they got the Empire Maker physical and quality, and they've been very well rewarded. So Empire Maker, we're looking at his first foals here at Keeneland since he was repatriated to the U.S. Don Alberto Corp purchased him, and fortunately for Gainsway, we were able to come in as a 50% partner. Anthony Beck and Carlos Heller worked out that deal, and he's been a joy to have. And first foal selling here since he came back from Japan, and also mare's pregnant, and he's a special horse. He's well priced at 85,000 live foal standard nurse, and he's a bargain.
Yeah, he absolutely is a bargain. And you know, talk about a horse that's aptly named. He's like Dwayne Lucas is noted for producing great trainers, Todd Pletcher, Kieran McLaughlin, on and on and on and on. Look at this horse. I mean, sire of sires, just a tremendous racehorse. As Bobby Frankel would say, it would be a no-brainer to breed to him. And Bobby Frankel loved this horse, said that it was the best horse he ever trained. You remember, Michael, I was so excited when you told me on the sly that you had gotten him. And, I was just ecstatic because it was a shame to have him out of the country. And I'm so glad you guys have him.
And he's commercial, right?
He's very commercial. Yeah. He's dominating his mares. He's making his own mark now as a sire of sires. He's very influential, and rightly so. And I think the future is just all ahead of him with these big, good crops of quality foals coming along from top breeders. And quite a few end-user breeders have used this horse. Therefore, the numbers coming to market are not going to be hugely liberal. Consequently, those commercial breeders are in position to get a very good return on their investment. And he's the type of stallion like Tappet who can really change a mare's production and make her subsequent foals much more valuable. So he really moves up his mares, and he's a terrific horse to use. He's value priced, and he's special, and he is empire maker.
Yeah, and you mentioned limiting the book to 125 mares. That's critical, especially for somebody that's going to look to invest in a stallion like this when they have their mare.
Well, it helps everyone, Mike. It gets you can get to the horse easier. His fertility is excellent. Don't forget, he's now 17, turning 18, so we've got to look after him. These horses, they're not machines, so that keeps him fresh. That will extend his breeding, hopefully, into his 20s, which is a tradition of stallions at Gainsway. And, on the way out, the commercial breeders, have somewhat of a scarcity factor and can get a good return on their investment. And meantime, the progeny by Empire Maker out of those mares are likely to succeed and allow the mare to appreciate in value.
Talking with Michael Hernan from Gainsway here on the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on HRRN. Of course, Empire Maker joins a stallion roster that includes perennial leading sire Tappet and Tappet's son Tapazar, who has really, really been on a roll as of late, Michael.
Well, he's starting to hit stride now. He was a horse who took some time to come around. He was much the best as a four-year-old, and in fact, he saved his best career performance for his last start when he was a dominant winner of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at Santa Anita under Corey Nakatani, trained, of course, by Steve Asmussen. And Tapazar himself had a very promising winner yesterday for the Gary and Mary West stable in the form of Lasting Legacy. He was a very promising winner. He's now 2-for-2. TDN called him their rising star. Bob Hess on the West Coast has a talented 3-year-old American pastime who was unlucky at the break in the Park Stakes. He was rapidly closing into second there. I know he's pointed to the Malibu Grade 1. And then Brad Cox has a very nice filly named Monomoy Joy. She's 2-for-2. She's pointed now to the Chelsea Flower Stakes at Belmont. She was impressive at Churchill. And coincidentally, Gainsway will offer her full brother at the Fasig-Tipton October sale. So he's a horse who's beginning to come to fruition. They take a little time. He's value priced. He retired sound. He's out of a deputy minister mayor winning call. And Tapazar, I think, is on the point of turning the page and moving forward now with graded stakes performers. And we think he's got a great chance. He's got good numbers underneath him. He looks the part of a stallion, and the stallions are available to breeders daily between 12:30 and 2:30 for inspection. No appointment necessary there. And we do like them to check in at the office, of course.
But yeah, just don't go walking over to the Stallion Bar.
We don't want the, you know,
they might hit you with a chain. You do.
We don't want the SWAT team to, you know, jump out of the loft. So anyway, no, but seriously, tapas are, you know, it's on a tappet with the pedigree and plenty to talk about there and good value for money.
He's a dandy-looking horse, too, huh? I mean, he just looks so sharp. I remember when you first brought him in, and I get the preview show. I like how you operate. I get to see these things when they come off the van, pretty much. I get the call. Jude, you need to come over and see this horse. And he's really cool-looking horse.
Well, we've been doing this show for a while now, and Gainsway are delighted to be part of it, and your success is part of what's helped us along. And, it's good to know, former trainer that you are, and you appreciate a good horse, and it's nice to have something in our back pocket that's new. And speaking of which, I'll be in touch with you shortly.
Can't wait.
Well, you know, if you're not in the Central Kentucky area at the moment and you can't stop out and see the Gainsway Stallions in person, all you have to do is go to Gainsway.com because there is beautiful video of all of the stallions on here. And, Michael, that is really well done, the way that you have put this website together. And, again, it's a great asset for people that might be listening to us now overseas, people that might be listening from other parts of the United States. They can go there right now and get a great look and see what we're talking about with horses like Tapazar and Empire Maker.
Well, it's a very valid point, and credit to Ian Tapp, who put it together. Ian works with me in sales and marketing at Gainsway, and it is a very effective site. And again, welcome viewers and listeners to go visit Gainsway.com. And that brings me around to a point that, you know, what makes Gainsway work is everybody that's there. Everyone's helping each other along. We're all part of the farm and the sales division. We're all proud of the job that gets done, and it's, you know, you don't can have a break in the chain. Everybody from the man on the ground who's with the horse, he's obviously pivotal and critical, and all the way up the line. And, you know, the stallion men at Gainsway, led by Carl Buckler, you know, top horseman, can show a horse as well as anybody. He jumps tappet in the shed most of the time. If he's off, Pedro will step in there. And everyone knows their position, and they work well together, and the shed runs smoothly. We return very good conception results across the board each year. And, you know, that's the tradition at Gainsway, and we hope to maintain it and continue to move forward and improve our position.
All right, so enough stallion talk here now. Let's get to the important stuff, Michael. Last week you appeared on this program with Steve Castagnola and with John Gasper, and I remember Michael Hernan, I wish I had pulled the clip from last week's show. I should have done that for you. Michael Hernan gave out a little horse by the name of Sway Dwah, who ended up upsetting the Shadwell Turf Mile at odds of 9-1. Great pick, my friend.
Well, thank you. You know, sometimes you get lucky. And in fact, she was a 15-1 morning line horse. And obviously, there was a few people out there who might have listened up and included him in the wagering, and he closed into 9-1 and got up late to win that graded stake. So there's a terrific race today. It's at Keeneland, the 9th, the QE2, grade 1, top field. We've got some European invaders. We've got a field of 11. They're very good fillies. And just to finish up here, I'm going to take a shot with the Irish-trained, improving filly, number 2, Proctor's Ledge. This filly is trained by Brendan Walsh, who's a name that's really on the rise. Brendan trained her into 2 back-to-back graded stakes wins at Saratoga, namely the Lake George and the Lake Placid. She's had a break since August the 19th. This daughter, a Ghost Zapper, top stallion over at Edina. And she's won 4 of 8. She's earned 360,000. She's a valuable filly. She's got some size. She's out of an Arch mare, who's a really good grass influence, the former Arch stud at Claiborne. And you know, she's going to pick up Corey Lannery because Javier Castellano sticks to the outside horse, New Money Honey. But Lannery is a top rider as well. And I give this filly a good chance. She comes in off solid breezes. Brendan left her at Saratoga for a period. You see here, he worked her twice since that win at Saratoga. In fact, once on the turf in a half mile in 50, another half mile this time on the main track, on the training track, which is the Oklahoma track, which is deep. And that's, of course, where Nick Zito prepped Birdstone prior to his historic Belmont win. And then Proctor's Ledge has a win October, or excuse me, a work October the 2nd, half mile in 48 and 2, and it's noteworthy because it was third fastest at 26 that morning, so signaling her well-being. So I think you got to use Proctor's Ledge. She's solid. She's improving. She's a dual graded stakes winner, and it'd be a thrill for Brendan to get a grade one at Keeneland, and this filly will give you a good run for your money.
Yeah, and how about the backstory with Proctor's Ledge? This was tweeted out earlier by Cormac Brennick, who was with Adina. He is now working at Airdrie, but Proctor's Ledge was conceived on a GoSapper season. You mentioned being by GoSapper. The season was donated by Adina Springs to the 2012 Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation Gala in Saratoga. It was auctioned as a stands and nurses season that meant that the TRF would not be paid for a very long time, if at all. And Mrs. Mosley, who purchased the season, not only bought the season, but she also had the generosity to pay the auction price up front so that the TRF got their money promptly, and regardless whether the mare produced a foal or not, she made sure that the charity received their money. I thought that was really, really cool.
Yeah,
great story.
And it's great to have these retirement groups help these horses after their racing careers are over, and that's something that I think the public need to be aware of. After racing, you know, these horses go on into other lives, and some of them need a little financial support. So, you know, keep in mind old friends out in Midway and who have some top horses. And just in the big picture, horses themselves, they don't have a 401k. They rely on their fans.
Yeah, yeah. I'm surprised Steve Castagnola hasn't been blowing up my phone with text messages because, by the way, not only did Michael Hernan give out a 9-1 shot on the program last week, Steve Castagnola came by and he gave out a 27-1 winner in Buchero. And then, of course, Free Drop Billy, who he was associated with for the Albaz. So it was listening to HRN last Saturday morning was very good for your wallet.
Yes, it can be. It definitely can be.
On occasion.
It was good for my wallet.
Yeah. Take a look at Proctor's Ledge, by the way, in the QE2 today. Michael, as always, appreciate the time, my friend. Thanks for stopping by, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks to you both, and enjoy the great racing at Keeneland today.
All right, Michael Hernan, Gainsway. Head over to gainsway.com to check out that unbelievable stallion roster. We'll get to a break. We'll come back, get you set for hour number two. We'll tell you all about it next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
This Saturday, watch and wager on the Grade 1 Queen Elizabeth II Challenge Cup at Keeneland. Plus, you can play the $350,000 guaranteed pick 4 and Keeneland's newest wager, the Rolling High 5. And every racing day, Keeneland offers a low 15% takeout pick 5 on the last 5 races. The average pick 5 pool over the first 4 days of the meet was $243,000, and the average payoff for 50 cents was $5,352. Learn more by visiting Keeneland.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Castleton Lions, home to multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and blue-blooded sprinter Justin Philip, who was recently represented by his first stakes winner at Belmont Park.
Down to the line, what a catch takes the Rockville Center over Morning Breeze.
That game stakes victory by What a Catch comes on the heels of Justin Phillips' daughter, Upset Brewing, putting in a strong runner-up finish in the $100,000 debutante at Churchill Downs. And while Justin Phillip continues his fast start, seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance.
And Sir Dudley Diggs from Amiz Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
Gio Ponti and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Airdrie Stud is proud to introduce the brilliantly talented American Freedom for the 2018 breeding season. The last top son of the great Sire of Sires pulpit, American Freedom was a sensational graded stakes winner, defeating all three classic winners of his generation, while besting the great Gunrunner both times they met. His Hall of Fame trainer, Bob Baffert, said, quote, American Freedom was a freak. He had more natural talent than most Grade 1 winners I've trained. Airdrie Stud's newest sensation, American Freedom. Think about it.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They turn for home. Romantic Vision, the one to get. Bar of Gold has to angle out to the center of the racetrack. Martini Glass is trying to find an opening from in between horses to come after Romantic Vision. Martini Glass to the outside, past the eighth pole, draws alongside of Romantic Vision as they begin battling for the lead in the Chubmont Spinster. Romantic Vision has the advantage past the 16th pole. She's strong with a two-length lead. Romantic Vision and Brian Hernandez Jr. win it by two lengths on the line. And then it was Martini Glass home second, and then further back a scramble for third under the wire in 1 minute 49 and 3/5 seconds. Romantic Vision takes the Grade 1 Chubmont Spinster.
Kurt Becker bringing them home in last Sunday's Win and You're In event here at Keeneland. That Chubmont Spinster, a Win and You're In for the Breeders' Cup Distaff, and Romantic Vision is indeed on her way to Del Mar, as are we. We'll see you there for more than 15 hours of Breeders' Cup Week coverage, including every single Breeders' Cup race, right here exclusively on HRRN. You can head over to horseracingradio.net to check out a complete Breeders' Cup Week schedule as we kick it all off the Monday before Breeders' Cup. See that schedule, horseracingradio.net, and follow us on social media at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Rusty Arnold, the trainer of Romantic Vision, going to join us in a few minutes shortly after 9 o'clock Eastern. Ram Moquette, who trained Phoenix Stakes winner Whitmore, who punched his ticket to the Twin Spires Breeders' Cup Sprint. Ron's going to join us at 9:22 Eastern Time. And Jim Goodman from Keeneland will be with us toward the end of the program, 9:40 Eastern, as he tells you about their big contest taking place today. And, of course, looks ahead to the Grade 1 QE2 Stakes later this afternoon. A lot of things happening in the world of thoroughbred racing here, JT.
Yeah, well, it's that time of year. Whenever Breeders' Cup is coming around, there's a lot of work to be done, and a lot of things going on.
We have coverage of that QE2 this afternoon beginning at 5 o'clock Eastern Time. Join the Big A, Anthony Stabile, as he takes you through a full hour of QE2 coverage. That's 5 o'clock Eastern. HorseRacingRadio.net is your home for that coverage. And then later tonight, 10 o'clock Eastern Time, we'll bring you coverage of the West Virginia Breeders' Classic from Charlestown. And again, that coverage available on our website at horseracingradio.net. So some racing action later today. Again, the Breeders' Cup win in your in races are in the rearview mirror. All of those are finished now. So no win in your in on the line in a race like the QE2 today. But it's still a race that could produce a Breeders' Cup starter with an impressive performance here later today.
Yeah, no question about it. And it's a great race in its own right. It originally was kind of like the Breeders' Cup for three-year-old fillies, because there is no three-year-old filly long turf race in the Breeders' Cup. So it kind of takes the place of that. But we've seen some fillies go from the QE2 onto the Breeders' Cup. So we'll be watching carefully today.
All right, hour number two of the Equine Forum begins momentarily right after we pause. 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Doro is forging clear. This is a high-caliber colt. We're witnessing the emergence of a star as Bolt Doro treats his rivals to a comprehensive walloping in the front runner.
She's trying to squeeze through a slim opening here, and through the eye of a needle, here she comes. And Elite has charged through to take the lead, and she is taking off for the wire, leaving the others behind. Elite dominates the Beldame.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Arrogate is getting going late now. Collected is in front. Arrogate closing on the outside. It's a Bob Baffert 1-2, but Collected going to win it. Collected and Martin Garcia won the Pacific Classic.
Gervin in the center of the track. McCracken by two. Tactical Joke and Gervin are both coming. Gervin on the outside. Here comes Gervin. And Gervin gets up to win by a nostril over McCracken in a thrilling Haskell.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment. Rolling on here this morning from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff. 20 days, 5 hours, and wait for it, 27 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup at Del Mar. Can't wait to get out there and bring you all that coverage exclusively here on the network. And looking forward to what those races will bring, including some storylines that we touched on in the first half of the program. Will Arrogate return to the Arrogate we were accustomed to seeing before his past couple of starts? Or will it be Gunrunner, who takes that East Coast form to the West Coast and takes it to everybody in the Breeders' Cup Classic? Or might it be somebody else, a horse like New York bred Diversify, who was very impressive in winning up in New York just a couple of weeks ago in the Jockey Club Gold Cup? West Coast, I believe, is pointing for that race, too, for Bob Baffert, right?
We talked about that. Very strong field. And, Diversify is an interesting horse because he has a lot of speed. And you know how us Californians like speed.
Yeah. Hey, is West Coast the leader in the clubhouse for the three-year-old championship now?
Oh, I don't know. That conversation sometimes gets a little tiresome. I don't know.
Yeah, because we can't figure it out.
Well, I mean, every year to me, it's like, let's wait for the year to be over and then make a judgment, you know? But we'll see.
Right, well, let's just say this, okay? Let me just throw a hypothetical out to you, right? And I know how much you love this. Let's say he gets beat in the Breeders' Cup Classic, right? Doesn't finish on the board. He's nowhere. Has he done enough already this year based on the body of work of everybody else in the three-year-old division to say, okay, West Coast is your three-year-old champion?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But you know, who really knows?
Yeah. I mean, if you extend the classics to the Travers, okay, so we have four separate winners of those four classic races, if you're going to look at the Travers as being the fourth jewel in the, they call it the jewel in the crown, but the fourth leg of the triple crown. Let's look at it like that, just for argument's sake.
The quadruple crown.
The quadruple crown, right? Let's just, for argument's sake, okay? So you've had four different winners.
Right.
Then I think you have to go to, you know, the sub body of work and the other races those horses have won. And, you know, it's going to be a muddled three-year-old championship picture, no doubt about it.
What if Oscar Performance
there's another
wins,
name.
Wins the mile and a half?
Yeah, there's another name. Right.
So, I mean, he's been pretty good this year.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I you know, when I do my Eclipse Award voting, I get the PPs and I sit down and I handicap each race. This is the way I do it. I don't know how other people do it. A lot of times I know who the best horse is, but I still give everybody a shot and I sit down and handicap the race. I pick a distance that's suitable for each category and who would win this race, you know? And then, you know, I sometimes choose that horse or another horse. But until I get to sit down, see all the numbers, see, you know, what I think could happen in any particular race, then I will decide.
You know who always seems to have everything figured out?
Who's that?
Trainer Rusty Arnold.
Well,
he always seems to have it all figured out, and he's with us now. That guy. He's with us now on the Equine Forum on HRRN. Rusty, good morning. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Good morning.
You've had it figured out over the past week or so at Keeneland, winning the Judmont Spinster with Romantic Vision and then coming back yesterday with Morticia in the Franklin County. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I got it figured out. It just took 40 years.
Oh, come on. You've won a lot of races at Keeneland. You know Keeneland pretty good.
We do. It's home, and it's been very good to me.
What's the key, Rusty? I mean, Jude touches on that. You've had that long streak of winning races every meet. What is it about Keeneland that just seems to suit you and your program and your horses?
Well, we're here year-round. Well, not year-round. We're not here in the winter, but we're here. We train here. The horses are on the track daily. That's probably a big edge. I think anybody would tell you that. And to be honest, you know, we'll point for it. We'll hold horses with conditions to get here when they're going to peak and not run them, say, maybe the month before where other places we'd go ahead and run. So I think it's a combination of the two.
All right, well, let's start with Romantic Vision then. How did you get her to peak last Sunday at Keeneland?
Well, Romantic Vision's probably just a different thing. She just likes it here. She's got three races on this track. What is it, two wins and a second? And she just has done well here. And we stopped on that filly during the summer to bring her back at Saratoga, and it was a disaster. She fell on her head out of the gate and basically didn't run at all. And came out of Saratoga just great and fresh. And Mr. Humphrey had decided to run her as a five-year-old because that family, he's had nine generations of the family, and they've all got better late. We actually won the Spinster 20 years ago with Claire Mandate, who's in the same family, and she was five. And I think Likely Exchange won the Delaware Handicap at seven. And it could have been six, but I think she was seven. And he decided to bring her back, and it's just, I think a lot of this is pedigree. It's just come out in her. She's a mile and eighth horse, and she's got good and sound and good and healthy and good and strong, and she's having a good five-year-old year.
Well, you mentioned training for Mr. Humphrey 20 years ago. What's that like to have somebody like Mr. Humphrey who has nine generations of a family that he's developed over the years and your relationship? I mean, that's just phenomenal. Talk about that a minute.
Yeah, this is my 27th year, and that doesn't happen in our business very often. And it affords me a chance to we go to the farm. We look at these horses when they're winglings. We look at them when they're yearlings, and we know the families. We've had several of theirs, and it's just it's probably an edge. And he's just been the most remarkable boss that you could have. I mean, it's been a great relationship. I hope he's as happy with it as I am, and it's been a long time. It's been great.
Rusty, what's the plan moving forward for Romantic Vision between now and the Breeders' Cup?
She's on a plane right now on the 27th to go to California. She'll train right here. She'll put probably her last work in here. and then go out there the next day and make sure everything's good before we get on the plane so that we'll know that there aren't any problems. But she's a very healthy, sound filly. I don't anticipate any problems, and she's kind of easy to train. She's not a high, you know, maintenance horse. She's very laid back. She's easy to deal with, and I think that it'll be pretty much straightforward.
Have you run many horses at Del Mar?
I have not seen Del Mar nor run a horse at Del Mar. It's probably most people. I was talking to Shook this morning and told him that. I said, I'm going to Del Mar. I've never run a horse there. And he said, neither have I. And that surprised me, you know, when he told me that. But I've been to almost every racetrack in the country, and I have not been to Del Mar simply because it runs the same dates as Saratoga, and I've been to Saratoga for 30-some years.
Yeah, well, I can guarantee you're going to have a good time.
Well, I'd say that's true.
Talking with trainer Rusty Arnold here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Rusty, when you're going to saddle a horse at a racetrack that you've never been to, never set foot on, and it's in a big race like the Breeders' Cup, what things do you do to kind of prepare and learn as much as you can before you go?
I will go into somebody's barn that I know that's very familiar with the racetrack. And, you know, if you've done this for 41 years, which I have, you know a lot of people. And I'll ship into a friend's barn, and they'll have their assistants, their riders, and my people will get to know them, and they'll help us through the process as I did. I was at Belmont for 20-some years, and I hosted several horses for the Breeders' Cup and or the Belmont, and we generally, most of us get along. I'll probably go into my buddy's barn. I'll probably go into Tom Proctor's is my guess, but Tom will leave no doubt in telling us what we need to do out there if you ever talk to Tom.
Yeah, not short on opinions. And, you know, he strums his guitar at the barn once in a while, puts the horses to sleep.
I got that going for me, too.
There you go.
Entertainment.
Will she be in Tom's barn?
That's what I'm going to ask for. They have not. I mean, they do it different in different places. When they ran at Churchill, Belmont, different places, they scattered us. At Keeneland, they housed them in the same barns. They, you know, they pretty much stuck you where they wanted you. I have not been told what they're going to do. If I get a choice, I'd probably go into his barn just because we can get guided through the process. He's run horses at Del Mar forever. They know the way to go to the track. They know where all the ice machines are at, they know everything to do for your help, and that's what I hope happens. But if they put us all together, we'll handle that too.
Well, even though the track is new and the venue is new to you, Rusty, you've been to the Breeders' Cup. You started 8 horses in the Breeders' Cup. 4 of those have come in the Breeders' Cup distaff. Is there something to be said for the experience of having been there and done that that might help you?
Well, I haven't, obviously, I don't have a good Breeders' Cup record. I'd like to change that. And mine are in the distaff because I train almost all fillies. That's just what I get. I've had good colts. I think I've run a couple of colts, but it's usually fillies. Mr. Humphrey races almost all fillies. So that's probably the reason of that. But, you know, it's going to be your horse. There is no edge. My filly did not have the credentials of these other fillies until the last month of her life, actually. And now she's come around. Her race figures are better. She's now a grade one winner. But we're jumping into a new league when we go out there. You know, we're jumping into Bob Baffert's filly. We're jumping into Dallas Stewart's filly. I'm going to miss another one that are good. Just thinking of those two right now. Obviously, Songbird's gone. She's not going to be there. But we're going to have to take another step forward. But we're actually getting a free run. She's going to be retired after this race to be a broodmare. So our last, it's kind of one of those no pressure things. We're going to take a shot with no pressure on us, and hopefully she can step up and run a good race and go home off one more last good race. Because right now she's going home off 2 wins, and we're just going to take a free roll for the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, that's a good spot to be in. I think you might have been thinking of Stellar Wind. She's a pretty nice filly too.
I just there's a couple more. I didn't try to leave one off, but I just didn't get through them all. And but I don't think it'll be a huge field like some of them are. You know, the distaff never is, Harley. It's usually a smaller field than the rest.
Yeah, it'll be salty, as they say, no doubt.
Absolutely.
Tough race. Rusty, before we let you go, touch on Morticia for a minute and that big win in the Franklin County yesterday. Boy, did she look good.
Yeah, now she's kind of the opposite. She's really good at what she does. And that's go five and a half on the grass. And she is, you know, turned into just, you know, stepped up against older fillies and did it again yesterday. She's going to be put away for the rest of the year and brought back next year. But she has been just such a joy to have this year. I mean, she shows up. Look at her record. Every place we take her, she shows up. And I got her beat going a mile here. But then you look who was behind her at Proctor's Ledge, Chad Brown's filly that may be the favorite in the Queen Elizabeth today was behind her that day. And so even when we ran her a mile, she showed up and did it, even though that's not what she wanted. So it's just been a real good ride with her this year, and yesterday topped it off.
Yeah, she's an amazing filly, and the day you ran her a mile, that was a very good spring day for me at the track. I looked up at the board. I was in the press box, and she was like 35-1. I said, how is this filly 35-1? And I couldn't get to the window fast enough, and, you know, La Coronel looked pretty tough that day, but that was a tremendous race she ran, and she's really become one of my favorites. She you're right. She fires every time. She gives you everything, and she's kind of, you know, a unique filly in that she's so consistent and she runs like a bear.
She does, and I don't know, Jude, if you've gone to see her. She's probably only 15 hands, if 15 hands, but she's made more like a quarter horse. She's just really wide. She's kept her weight all year. She's healthy. And yesterday she got a shoe off in the paddock. A lot of people didn't know, and we couldn't get it back on. She got herself mad when she got it off, and we tried her for a few minutes, and I had to make a choice we had her in the stall and the paddock blacksmith said, we just can't get it back on, and said, you're either going to run her with three or scratch her, and we decided to give her a chance, and so she won that race with three shoes.
Wow.
Very cool.
Wow, how good is she? Outstanding. Well, and it's close enough to Halloween, too. Morticia, aptly named because her dam is Halloween Party. Of course, she's a daughter of Twirling Candy, but Morticia, perfect name for that filly.
Yeah.
And it was Friday the 13th.
That's right.
Which was the lucky day for the Adams family. Their one lucky day of the year was Friday the 13th. So she had a lot going for her.
Keeneland should have bought a bouquet of roses for her and cut all the roses off and hand her the thorns.
Rusty, we appreciate all the time, my friend. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, you will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We will get that to you, and thanks so much for being with us. All the best. We'll see you at Del Mar.
All right, guys, anytime, and thank you.
All right, Rusty Arnold, one of the best, no doubt about it, and one of those guys that I think when you look at people in the sport, sometimes we describe people as trainers and we describe some people as horsemen. Rusty, not only a trainer, Rusty is a phenomenal horseman.
Yeah, he really is, and just does an outstanding job. And, you know, the relationship with him and G. Watts Humphrey is just, you know, remarkable,
yep.
Really, especially in today's day and age when a lot of people change trainers like they change their shirts.
All right, we're going to get to another break. When we come back, we'll talk about another win, and you're in Victor. That is Whitmore, who won the Phoenix Stakes on opening day. He's on his way to the Twin Spires Breeders' Cup Sprint. We will visit with his trainer, Ram Moquette. That's up next on the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on HRRN.
When it comes to picking winners at the racetrack, information is vital. And having information that your fellow players don't can lead to big payoffs. Biasbook.net is a must-have handicapping tool for all horse players. Biasbook.net does the hard work for you, identifying horses that ran with and against the bias. Now through Breeders' Cup, an exclusive offer only for HRRN listeners. Enter promo code HRRN and receive a 50% discount off your first monthly subscription at Biasbook.net, your source for the bias horse.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family. at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the Godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races for our next big night of racing on Saturday, October 14th for the 31st annual West Virginia Breeders Classics. $1 million will be up for grabs as the best horses West Virginia has to offer will square off in nine state bred stakes races, headlined by the $350,000 West Virginia Breeders Classic and the $125,000 Cavada Breeders Classic. So mark your calendars for Saturday, October 14th for Breeders Classics Night here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Racing fans, come early this Saturday to Santa Anita for one of our most popular promotions ever, our infield Michelada Rumble. And you can enjoy live music, great food, a car expo, art show, and much more. Our main event Saturday is the $100,000 California Distaff Handicap for fillies and mares bred or sired in California at 6.5 furlongs down the Camino Real Hillside Turf Course. First post time on all weekends is at 12:30. Admission gates open at 10:30. Santa Anita. Great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Wonder Gadot out in front by over a length and a half, now 2.5, and is putting them away in the Mazarine in fine style.
Wonder Godot continued the red hot 2017 for Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro with that dominating win in the Grade 3 Mazarine Stakes at Woodbine this past weekend. In addition, Medaglia d'Oro's 2-year-old son, Montauk, broke his maiden in his debut by 11 lengths at Belmont Park, getting an 87 Beyer and a TDN Rising Star designation. Wonder Godot and Montauk are your Darley Taking the Reins Performers of the Week. Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro is represented by 5 Grade 1 winners in 2017 and continues to lead all North American stallions in that category. Elate, Bolt d'Oro, and the Brilliant Songbird are among Medaglia d'Oro's 5 individual Grade 1 winners this year. And Wonder Godot became the 9th graded stakes winner for Medaglia d'Oro in 2017. To learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Whitmore angles to the center of the track from third. 3-5 India, fourth, uncontested fifth. Limousine Liberal and Richard the Great trying to swing toward the outside. And now here comes Limousine Liberal outside of uncontested, coming after Awesome Banner. 3-5 India, Whitmore and Limousine Liberal and uncontested. Loose on the town needs room. A driving finish. Whitmore, Awesome Banner, 3-5 India, Limousine Liberal coming to the line in the Phoenix. It will be close at the line. Head bobbing photo for the win, either Whitmore or Awesome Banner for the top spot in 109-4.
Well, the nose in front was Whitmore as he won the Phoenix Stakes at Keeneland on opening day. Kurt Becker had the call. He's on his way to the Twin Spires Breeders' Cup Sprint. We'll see you there as your exclusive radio home for the Breeders' Cup here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Just a minute, we're going to be joined by Ron Moquette, who is the trainer of Whitmore. Looking forward to that visit. But before we get to that, it is time for your Blood Horse News update and a quick look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Lorenz denies O'Brien at Newmarket. That's the headline at BloodHorse.com. A late scratch and a desperate nose in the October 13th Phillies Mile at Newmarket prevented Irish trainer Aidan O'Brien from edging within one of the late Bobby Frankel's record of 25 top-level wins in a single year as Lorenz, trained by Carl Burke, prevailed in the one-mile test. O'Brien, backed by the seemingly limitless resources of the Coolmore Partners, has 23 Group 1 wins so far in 2017. He had the three favorites in the Phillies' mile until the top one happily was scratched after spiking a fever. And that's your Blood Horse News update for this morning. Don't miss any of this fall's race coverage around the country like only Blood Horse can bring you. Follow the races and the news throughout the day on the popular Blood Horse Daily app or have an email sent to you once a day. Both are free. Go to bloodhorse.com/daily. Well, I know Ron Moquette would love to be looking at that many grade one wins in a season, and he knows how to train a good horse, and he has a good one in Whitmore. He is with us now on the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Ron, good morning, my friend.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
All right.
Yeah, everything is well. I know everything is well on your end, too. Congratulations on the big victory.
Thank you very much. We're all proud of it.
You have your bags packed for Del Mar?
Yeah, we're ready. We were ready in January.
Good job.
Well, look back on that performance from last Friday. What an effort by Whitmore.
Oh, yeah, I was very pleased. I went about it training him a little unorthodox from what a lot of folks do today. And at the head of the stretch, I was doubting whether or not I did the right thing, but it was great for him to run the way he did for the partnership and the barn, and it was great to see how he come back out of the race. So I'm proud of the way it all happened.
Well, he's such a cool horse, and he always gives his best. I couldn't believe the price. I mean, that was ridiculous. He's way too good to pay $10.
Oh, yeah. Well, in the microwave society we live in, where the last minute, it seems like they forget what you did 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago or whatever. It's all about the last race. And I think that maybe some gamblers were almost upset with him that he didn't win his last out. And, they didn't back him as well as maybe they should have in the Phoenix, but I was happy.
Yeah, he was an overwhelming favorite the race before in the Grade 3 DeFrancis Memorial at Laurel on September 16th and ended up finishing third that day. Ronnie, you mentioned that you were training him a bit differently and unconventionally coming up to that win in the Phoenix. What do you mean? What'd you do different?
Well, my goal with him is the Breeders' Cup, and I've said that just about to any publication that would write it down. It was always to get there, and not just get there. I want to be there and feel like I've got a fresh, ready to perform well horse. And whenever we had the shoe mishap at Saratoga on the entry of the Vanderbilt day, I decided, well, this is where we're going to give our break right here and get the foot right. And, do everything it takes to make sure that we're ready to run at Del Mar. So we took him to Laurel, hoping that the track was the right kind of track and that he was going to run as well as we had hoped. But it scratched. There was no speed in the race, and it was kind of we're stuck down on the rail, and it just didn't set up. It was a four horse field, and we got outrun. And I probably my fault but I would have felt a lot much better if there had been speed. But afterwards, I did not give him a work. And I thought he was a little dull and he wasn't as aggressive. So I decided I was going to take him to the Phoenix fresh. And I wasn't going to use the mornings to take energy away. I'm going to try to use the Phoenix. I thought we had him over a barrel talent-wise. And I thought I'd rather him use the Phoenix to propel him towards the Breeders' Cup. So instead of giving him a bunch of works and, 46s and 47s and all that stuff, I just gave him a couple 2-minute clips and pointed him to the Phoenix and used the race at Laurel as a stepping, stone for that. I wanted to win the race at Laurel, and I thought we were ready. But after that, I thought, it was a deep track. We'll use that as our works to get to the Phoenix and even more so to get to the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, that's brilliant of you. And a lot of trainers work horses on a certain pattern, and the minute a workout's scheduled on the training chart, it's etched in stone. You know, Alan Jerkins, he always used to talk about, you know, just doing things by feel and do what's right for your horse, and to heck with what the conventional wisdom is. And that takes a lot of guts sometimes. Talk about that and how you as a horseman figure that out.
Well, you know, there's so much information out there today. You know, when Alan Jerkins was doing those things, you know, there wasn't – the works didn't pop up before you got back to the barn. You know, and you know, every owner didn't have a computer in their hand and could pull up the last 10 works. And so there's a lot more explaining now. But at the end of the day, it's just like Mr. Jerkins said, it's you do by feeling what you feel is right for your horse. And with a horse like Whitmore, who can go out there and gallop in a minute, 52 seconds normally for a mile, he doesn't need as much. And whenever he's fit and moving the right direction, you know, the only reason I work him at all is just to keep him from dragging, you know, my wife's arms off as she's galloping. But anyways, you know, not, if I tried to do that with other horses, it wouldn't work. But you know, the individuality of the way we do it, it actually come into play on this. And I was happy that it worked out this time, because I had a lot of people that was questioning. I mean, if you watch some of the shows and some of the pre-race betting shows, the Phoenix, you know, the nation's oldest race, and there's a lot of people know it's a win and you're in. And so there was a lot of talk about the race. And then beforehand, the gamblers and the Express Bet TV and all the other people that was doing it was all asking, you know, there's no works here. I don't understand this. And, you know, so I was glad that it worked out in our favor, and we got a good trip and, you know, a good effort from the rider and the barn, and because we could have looked really silly.
Talking with trainer Ron Moquette here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Ron, you referenced something a short time ago, talking about the foot issue at Saratoga. There are people listening that might not know exactly what happened that day. Take us through that progression, and you already mentioned what you did to rectify it, but take us through what happened.
Well, we're going to fly him up and enter him the day after he lands at Saratoga. He's training at our base at Louisville. Everything's good. We fly up. He walks off the plane perfect. All that's great. We have a 2-hour van ride from where the plane landed. There was a little bit of a hold up from the transfer from the plane to, or from the trip over from the plane to Saratoga. And he's a little anxious when he's traveling, so he did a lot of pawing. And he tore his shoe off, and we're about to be, no exaggeration, we're going to be the favorite in the Grade 1 Vanderbilt. And whenever he come off of the van, his shoe was tore off. And it's not that big a deal. Shoes come off sometimes. But whenever you're pawing on it, one of the nails went in there. And anyways, it caused him to be a little sore, and he tore the hoof wall a little bit. So I had to adjust everything I was doing. We're flying him up to be the favorite in the Vanderbilt. Instead, we don't get to enter, and we miss the race, obviously, and then we're playing catch up to get to where we once were.
Yeah, those are things that you just don't have any control over, and you don't know when they're going to happen. It was super unfortunate for you and for the horse and the owners, but in the end, You got to regroup, and you win the race at Keeneland. Now you're right back on schedule for the Breeders' Cup, and I couldn't be happier for you that you stuck to your guns. You did what your gut told you, and it was successful.
Oh, thank you very much. I think you know, in the land of win percentages and you know, where win percentages dictate everything and moves 5 days out, 7 days out. Every now and then it's good to go back and just do what's right by the horse. Of course, some of my friends and colleagues will tell you the same thing I will. A good horse will bail you out and make you look smart all the time. So you can't, you know, if I'd have done this with a lesser horse, he may not have made me look as bright. So luckily it was Whitmore, and he just tell everybody, he just keeps bailing us out.
Ronnie, Rusty Arnold joined us just a short time ago here on the program, and he said that he has never even set foot at Del Mar. How about you?
Actually, that was one of the first places I ever went. I was a country boy come to town, and that's where I got my license. And, I went from Blue Ribbon Downs to Del Mar.
So, meteoric rise to stardom.
Wow.
Yeah, that was it was quite. I've been there. I've enjoyed it. I think it's a different type of atmosphere but they do love their horse racing, and there'll be a big crowd there of people that are amped up and ready to see some good horses, and they're going to get to.
Yeah, they are going to get to, and they will get to see Whitmore, who goes postward in that Twin Spires Breeders' Cup Sprint. Ronnie, like all of our guests who appear on the program, we're going to send you a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Before I let you go, let's go ahead and ask you, what is it about this sport and this game that makes you embrace the race?
The main thing is the relationship with the horse, the fact that they really want to do what we're wanting them to do. It's great to help anybody or anything achieve its ultimate goal. And whenever you know that they want to win as bad as you want them to win, it's a great feeling.
All right, there he is. He's Ron Moquette. Ronnie, appreciate all the time, and we'll see you out at Del Mar, and keep everything rolling until we get there.
We'll do it. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, Ron Moquette, former boxer, by the way.
Yeah, if you ever,
I love that stat.
If you ever look at him, you can see why. He's got that iron jaw, yeah, right?
I know. Every time I see him in the paddock, I'm kind of bobbing and weaving.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
He'd knock me out.
Oh, he would be so dead.
Yeah. He's going to look to throw one hell of a knockout punch in the Breeders' Cup Sprint with Whitmore, by the way.
The late Baron, they would call you. Yeah,
they certainly would. All right, well, let's see. What's coming up next? Jim Goodman from Keeneland is going to join us in the next segment. And Keeneland hosting a huge handicapping contest later today. Jim will talk to us about that, and he'll preview the QE2.
Yeah, he's a very good handicapper. He's one of the rare racetrack executives that you see walking around with a racing form in his pocket.
Don't forget, if you missed any portion of the show, all you have to do is head over to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can listen to a podcast at your leisure. So many people have sent us emails and contacted us on Twitter and said, hey, we love the podcast. So it's easy to do. You go to horseracingradio.net. You can check out all of our shows. Listen for free at your leisure, horseracingradio.net. We're back to visit with Jim Goodman next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Grade 1 winner Lee traveled the world competing against the best of his generation. A graded stakes winner on both dirt and turf, he set a new track record in the Grade 1 Don Handicap and retired with earnings of more than $2.3 million. With his much-anticipated first foals hitting the ground this year, the sky is the limit for this promising young stallion, Lee, at Claiborne Farm.
Zest Fabrication is Kentucky's only true fabrication shop and portable welding business. Family owned and operated, Zest Fabrication has built a reputation of success in several industries, including farm and equine. Working with many of Kentucky's most prestigious farms, Zest Fabrication provides top quality equine equipment, including paddock gates, stall yoke, Dutch doors, and entrance gates, and will even repair your current equipment. Visit VestFab.com to view samples and schedule your free estimate today.
Plume Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Plume, Plume Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Plume Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at BloomRacing.com.
Adina Springs Stallion Point of Entry. A five-time Grade 1 winner, viewed by many to be the heir to Dinah Former's global legacy. The sire of two-year-old stakes winner Glamination in his first crop, along with the impressive filly Moonlight Rain, who defeated males in her debut. On the racetrack, Point of Entry was the first horse since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined 9 lengths.
Point of Entry scores to win the Man of War by 4 lengths.
Wild final furlong coming here in the Sword Dancer, and here comes Point of Entry, who's running to daylight.
And they're coming down to the finish. And Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a 5-race winning streak.
From a remarkable female family, Point of Entry's first 4 dams are Grade 1 winners and or Grade 1 producers. The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sire is Point of Entry, standing at Adina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They've turned it into a sprint for home now, and Lady Velour's hanging on. Stays in Vegas, breeze down her neck. Stays in Vegas, gets the lead. Barley Sugar, Red Cap, Mocat in the gold colours. And down the centre, here comes Decked Out with a big run too. Homeward Bound and Stays in Vegas. Stays in Vegas, Mocat, Decked Out, flying down the centre of the track. Stays in Vegas, hanging on. Mocat has harmonised with a late run. Harmonised, flying late. Desperate finish, I believe. Harmonize might have got up. Harmonize in a blanket finish. It's close, though. Stays in Vegas, Decked Out right there, and Mocat a close four.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna and Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff, in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. Looking forward to this afternoon's QE2 Stakes coming up at Keeneland. You'll hear coverage of that race exclusively here on the network beginning at 5 o'clock Eastern. That coverage available worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. And don't forget, you can also catch the West Virginia Breeders' Classic from Charlestown later tonight. Our coverage of those races beginning 10 o'clock Eastern time. So a full night of racing here on the network. Visit horseracingradio.net to listen live worldwide and to see a complete broadcast schedule. Jim Goodman from Keeneland going to be with us here momentarily. We'll talk to him about the QE2. We'll also talk to him about their huge handicapping contest taking place here in the Bluegrass. But before we do, we want to remind you that tomorrow you can watch and wager on the Grade 1 Pattison Canadian International live from Woodbine. This weekend, nearly $2 million in purses are going to be up for grabs on a card that also includes that Grade 1 E.P. Taylor and Grade 2 Nearctic Stakes. Woodbine also going to have large guaranteed pools and will be offering 20-cent bet minimums on all Triactor, Superfecta, Pick 3, and Pick 4 pools. You can also give the jackpot high five a go, which is a wager with huge potential for big pool payouts. Watch and wager on the Pattison Canadian International. First post tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern. For more information, you can visit WoodbineRacetrack.com and use their race day hashtag, WOITNL. Well, Woodbine, as I mentioned, not the only racetrack with big racing this weekend. Here in the Bluegrass, the QE2 is the feature race of the afternoon at Keeneland. Jim Goodman with us now here on the network. Jim, appreciate the time.
Hey, Michael. How are you this morning? How are you, Jude?
Good, good.
Everything is good, my friend, and looking forward to what promises to be an exciting renewal of the QE2.
It's a rather balanced race, I think, if you look at it. Every year we take a look at these races, and Ben Huffman does such a good job putting them together, and this one is no exception. I think you can make a case for almost everyone in here. It's a very balanced race with some really nice fillies.
Yeah, the quality is there as always. as you mentioned, Ben does such a great job assembling this field every year, and it's really one of the premier races in the United States. It's a race that I love. It's probably my favorite race at Keeneland, and this field is very exciting.
Yeah, if you look at the morning line odds, where do you see Mike Smith flying in to ride a Wesley Ward horse at 30-1? Conte de Portillo, the horse that came out of the Ascot race, it won it 20-1 and came back and ran really well in Del Mar Oaks. Not sure she's going to go off at 30-1, but Mike's got a big shot with a long shot here, I think.
Yeah, and I think you have to give a long look to the horse on the opposite end of the spectrum, the opposite end of the starting gate. That's number 11, New Money Honey. Javier Castellano riding for Chad Brown. That experiment of running her on the dirt in the Alabama last time out is behind them now. That didn't work. She returns to the turf. She looks like she could be pretty tough, Jim.
Oh, I think so, too. And I think she's going to run well here. She didn't win the Appalachian, but I thought she had a tough trip. She ran behind La Cornell and Proctor's Ledge, and she's beaten Dream Dancing in here. A lot of these horses have beaten each other. I think New Money Honey's got a big shot. Chad Brown, you can't throw him out in any race. Uni's got a big shot, the 10 horse. And I understand the 7, Wahida is going to scratch, so that would have made it interesting with the Europeans coming in. Proctor's Ledge is a filly I really like. Brandon Walsh, that horse has won the last two since getting on Lasix, won the Lake George and Lake Placid at Saratoga, which is probably pretty good tune-ups for this race. I think she's got a big shot at getting a grade one here. You can go on down the line. Dream Dancing, Daddy's Little Darling. McPeak is high on her since he switched her to turf. So it's a race that you certainly cannot single in the pick four. You need to go deep and try to find a single somewhere else, I think.
Yeah, who is your single in the pick four? You're a good pick four player. Who do you like to?
You know, I'm really up against it, Jude. I've hit it the last couple of days on my podcast for 1500 day before and 389 yesterday. I really didn't have a strong single in here. I like Bondurant in the 7th race, the allowance race for Ian Wilkes. I think the Kentucky Downs race, we keep talking about Kentucky Downs horses being fit, and I think that sprint race there set it up well for Bondurant. I don't know that I'm going to single him. I think you can make a case for Air Force, who really likes Keeneland, and Parlor, a horse for Eddie Keneally. But I would imagine that I'm going to go deep enough in each race, and it worked for me yesterday to single the last race. And I might just go ahead and take a stand in the 10th race, a maiden special weight, with Ron Moquette's horse for Le Perou, Powerful Ally. And I think that that race did not come up real strong, and Julian's riding so well right now. He's at 30%. So I'm going to probably go deep the first three legs and take a stand with Powerful Ally in the last.
Yeah, well, one thing's for sure. Whoever wins that QE2 Challenge Cup this afternoon is going to have their name etched among some of the top horses we've seen in recent years, including names like Day at the Spa and Vicari and Ticker Tape, Filmmaker, Risk Averse, Perfect Sting, Looking Back at Memories of Silver, Perfect Arc, all winners of the QE2. And somebody is going to be among that illustrious list later today.
Yeah, I'm with Jude on this. It's my favorite race of the fall as well. I mean, we obviously roll out Fall Stars weekend, the opening weekend, because it's a lot of Breeders' Cup preps and, you know, with the two-year-old Alcibiades. But I think, and the Spinster on Sunday, but this one is the showcase of our second weekend by far, and a lot of prestige attached to this race. And so I agree with Jude. I think this is our best race of the fall.
Talking with Jim Goodman from Keeneland here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jim, I mentioned the big handicapping contest. Fill us in.
Yeah, and first of all, I want to give a big shout-out to your partner, because about 9 years ago, Jude was helping us with handicapping contests, he and Karen King, and we had done Mythical Money Contest and very successful at it. I remember the first year I came here about 12 years ago, we had over 500 people playing in a $2 win place tournament up in the Phoenix Room and the Lexington, Kentucky Room for three spots in the NHC. And it was like $100 to get in, and we had 504 entries. Well, with the advent of online contests, that doesn't happen anymore. The Mythical contests are not that popular. Everybody plays on their computer. But Jude came up with this idea, I guess maybe 8 years ago, to do something called a Grade 1 gamble in the spring. And we blew it out. We took the Keeneland Room. And if I'm not mistaken, we had 36 players the first year, Jude. Does that sound right? 32 or 36?
I think that's right. I think that's right, yeah.
And he ordered these black leather biker jackets. And Ray Arsenault, who won the NHC last year, is the reigning Eclipse Award Handicapper of the Year. And Ray still wears that jacket sometimes. He is so proud of it. I got a couple other guys who come back here and wear that jacket.
I wear mine, too.
Signature jacket.
He wanted to go in black leather chaps, Jim. I talked him out of it. We went with the jacket.
And so we started off very small, and we thought there's no way we're going to ever get 36 people, because that's about all we could get in the Keeneland room and set it up classroom style. And we got 36 people to pay $3,000 to come to Keeneland and take a roll. Well, since that time, our grade one gamble this past spring had 171 entries at $3,000 a pop. And this one right now I'm sitting at 157. So I think I'm going to get really close by the time some people buy second entries. I'm going to get really close to 170. It has actually become what is the biggest live bankroll tournament in the country outside of the BCBC. So I want to thank Jude for having that crazy idea a few years ago, because it's increased our handle a substantial amount. If you think about 170 players with a $2,000 bankroll, they wind up betting somewhere in the neighborhood of $550,000 to $600,000 inside those races tomorrow. So it's going to be a great tournament. And he came up with an idea of, this is not Jude Feldhauer, but I did want to thank him for this. He came up with the idea of doing half the bankroll in the last two races, and we've kept that rule in. So you come down to the last two races, and if you got $10,000, you got to bet $5,000 in at least one of those two races. So that makes it pretty binding for the last two. And that's one of the reasons we got a great turf race tomorrow in the feature with a full field. So that's going to be very interesting tomorrow when those 160, 170 players are trying to win. We're going to give away six BCBC spots and up to 10 NHC spots, plus about $20,000 for first place.
Well, you know what I remember about the contest the most, the first contest that we did, Jim, two things. First of all, Keeneland said they'd give us a month to sell it out, and I just kind of laughed. Because in those meetings, sometimes people weren't aware of what was going on around the country, you know. And Karen King sold it out in half an hour.
Yep.
That was the one thing. And then the second thing was, you and I were like the little ladies that used to do the 510 at Caliente and check all the betting slips by hand. And you and I did that, I think the first two contests, we did it,
yep,
you and I together, and checked every contest entry by hand. That was a little bit stressful. but they finally figured out how to put it on a card, and it made it so much easier for everybody.
We got a card, and we've got my accounting staff comes in and does the audit. We make them bet at least $400. When we started off, we made them bet every race, and we had some issues with that, because people, if you come up with a five horse field, people were just going through the race betting $250 to show. So they talked me into changing that format a little bit, to where right now we make them bet $400 for five races, so they can skip actually three races, then bet one of the last two, half their bankroll. It seems to be a little better, and then we've got the auditors in there to check that. So it's a pretty smooth operation, and these people, I've got people that came for the first one that have come back for every single contest.
Can people still get into the contest, Jim?
They can. We're going to I took the entire Lexington, Kentucky room this time, Jude. We've gone from the Keeneland room to the whole Lexington, Kentucky room. So I've got guests and everything in there. So they can still buy in. Registration will be open in Sunday morning. Go take the elevator C at Keeneland up to the fourth floor, and we'll take registration all the way up to 12:45.
There he is. He's Jim Goodman from Keeneland. You can go to Keeneland.com to learn more about all the promotions taking place this meet. And, Jim, can't thank you enough for all your time. Enjoy the QE2 and enjoy that contest.
Yeah, and let me add one other thing. We've got a $400 contest going today at Keeneland, and you can buy into that up to 12:45. We added that a few years ago, or actually this past spring, just a $400 straight, 250 live bankroll, pretty much bet it any way you want to. And we had 260 entrants in that in the springtime. So you can also come out to Keeneland today and buy those up to 12:45. And that's at Wagering Central on the first floor grandstand right in front of the big tote board.
He's the best. All kinds of things happening at Keeneland this weekend. Jim, appreciate the time.
Yeah, thanks for your coverage, guys. We appreciate that as well.
All right, Jim Goodman, like all of our guests who appear on the program, receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. Embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. We're back to wrap things up for you on the Equine Forum next. It's all presented by Woodbine Entertainment right here on HRN.
Racing fans, come early this Saturday to Santa Anita for one of our most popular promotions ever, our infield Michelada Rumble. And you can enjoy live music, great food, a car expo, art show, and much more. Our main event Saturday is the $100,000 California Distaff Handicap for fillies and mares bred or sired in California at 6.5 furlongs down the Camino Real Hillside Turf Course. First post time on all weekends is at 12:30. Admission gates open at 10:30. Santa Anita. Great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Hello, this is Stuart Morris. We're very fortunate this year to have three current two-year-old stake horses out of our small crop of about 65 head sold last year. He Hate Me was a very exciting horse earlier in the year, and Pacific Gale, who just won the sorority at Monmouth, is also one of our graduates from last year in good hands with John Kimmel, and we're hoping for her to have a big fall for them on the East Coast. And we're very excited to have Kelly's Humor. We've got several good horses to sell the rest of this year. We're very proud of them, and we hope to see you at one of our consignments coming forward, either in Maryland and Timonium, OBS, middle of October, and then we'll see you at the end of the month in October at Fasig Tipton. Hopefully you'll come out to buy your next stake course from the Stuart Morris consignment.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way.
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What do we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello?
Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in. Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Power.
And Tapazara, sterling performance today. Tapazara and Corey Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Passion.
Tip, tap, Tapazara puts his head in front. And tip, tap, Tapazara has won the sapling.
Performance.
Shari is rallying outside of Tap. They're battling for second. Tap it all. A convincing winner of the California Oaks.
Gainesway stallion Tapazara. An emerging young son of three-time champion sire Tappet, who was once again the leading sire at Keeneland September by gross and average. Tapazara was a runaway winner of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile and hails from the female family of Tappet's champion filly, Untappable. The sire of 42 winners, including 2017 California Oaks heroine Tap It All and TDN Rising Stars, American Pastime, and Mr. Crow. Tapazara, standing at Gainesway.
Power. Passion, performance, you know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
From the back of the pack, Charitable Annuity is launching to be third on the far outside and is coming with a bold late run. Furlong to go. Hidden King and cut the corner. Grab the 2 length lead. Charitable Annuity is flying on the far outside and has gone right on by Hidden Canyon. Charitable Annuity on to victory. Winning the West Virginia Breeders' Classic by 3. Hidden Canyon, Little Big Sime, and Lucy's Bob Boy was 4th.
That's Charitable Annuity winning the 2015 West Virginia Breeders' Classic. We'll see if he can pull off a victory in the 2017 renewal. Later tonight, our coverage of that race beginning 10 o'clock Eastern here on the network. You can tune in horseracingradio.net and listen to that coverage worldwide. Again, 10 to 11 Eastern time. Before we get to that point, though, we're going to bring you coverage of the QE2 Challenge Cup from Keeneland. That coverage begins at 5 o'clock Eastern. Again, all that coverage available on our website at horseracingradio.net, as is a podcast of this program. If you missed our interviews with John Siskos from Woodbine talking about their big day tomorrow, Michael Hernan from Gainesway, trainers Rusty Arnold and Ron Moquette, or Jim Goodman in the last segment, all you have to do is head back over to our website and listen to the podcast whenever you get some time. It's horseracingradio.net. All right, so Pontiff, I have a question for you before we wrap things up. So you're in your UK garb now, okay? You grew up in the L.A. area as a Dodgers fan.
Yes.
Your wife is a diehard Cubs fan. So, like a good husband, you support her and cheer for the Cubs.
Yes.
Tonight, Cubs-Dodgers, who you got?
Well, if you see what I'm going to wear to Keeneland today, you will know that I will be rooting for the Cubs.
Ooh, really?
Yes. I have become...
You know where your bread is buttered.
Well, I've become a huge Cubs fan. You know, when I moved to Lexington, I took on the Bengals. Yep. I was a Denver Broncos fan, but I took on the Bengals. So now I'm disappointed every week, like my father was with the Rams. And I've become a Cubs fan. So my Ron Santo velour Cubs shirt is coming out of mothballs today for my appearance at Keeneland.
There you go. I'm still waiting for my Yankees to try to pull off a big upset here, but that Houston team is pretty tough.
Houston is very tough. A lot of those guys on the team were Lexington legends, so it's fun for me to see them play. Jose Altuve, I saw him first. I spotted him a long time ago.
You told me about him a long time ago when he was playing here in Lexington. All right. Our thanks to all of our special guests for taking the time to join us here this morning and to all of you listening here on the Equine Forum. Our producer, Lee Delapina, doing a great job for us here in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios. Sean C. with all of our social media. And for Jude Feld, I'm Mike Pena. Until next week, let's do this one more time. Come on, go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.